Welcome to Disrespect, exploring the stigma around disability, providing information and interviews to entertain and challenge you who may care about or care for or have become someone with a disability. Disrespect welcomes John Clark from the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty to the show today. John, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Jeff.
What would you like to tell us about the special diet and, in particular, your, what would you call her, your complainant?
Well, the special diet campaign was taken up to access the provision under the social assistance regulations in Ontario that enables people to get additional monies of up to $250 per recipient for nutritious eating,
yeah,
if a medical provider recommended it. We accessed a lot of benefits for people over the course of last year, and the government substantially cut back on the program.
They rewrote it?
They rewrote it, yes, in a way that's quite brutal. But nonetheless, the truth is that one of the effects of the campaign was to make knowledge of the special diet so widespread that even in a situation where many people are being cut off, many people are being shut out, it's still true that the absolute numbers of people trying to access the special diet has increased so much. Mm-hmm. The government still has, I suppose, from its point of view, a significant problem on its hands.
Mm-hmm.
And all along in our work in Toronto, no different to anywhere else, but that's where we're based, the local authorities had done everything they could to ensure that as many people as possible did not get the supplement, even if a doctor or other medical provider recommended it. And so Zahra Noor was a person who had, with her children, been able to get the special diet at an earlier time. When the new policy came in and the new form was issued, she reapplied and then, in fact, believed that that the medical situation was such that if she applied again, there were a number of medical issues that she could bring to the attention of a physician and obtain some more benefits.
Yeah.
The social services office that she goes to,
she's supporting
the Wilson office.
She's supporting like seven children too, isn't she?
That's correct. She has.
And is this on like on Ontario Works?
That's correct. On Ontario Works. And so the Wilson North York office that she deals with,
yeah,
took the position that she could not have forms to reapply. They would not grant her the forms.
Did they try to defend that?
Well, the point is this, is that when it first happened, we assumed it was the conduct of an individual social services official.
All right.
We then discovered that, in fact, it was coming from the office itself. But then, most incredibly, we went down to the head office at Metro Hall,
yeah,
dealt with their rather unfortunately misnamed client services department,
yeah,
who in turn was dealing clearly with the most senior management of the whole operation in Toronto, and they took the position of backing this up. Their position was that what she would have to do would be go and see a doctor. If a doctor felt that she was entitled to there were other medical conditions, the doctor would have to contact social services.
No.
And only then would they issue another form.
That's not the normal procedure.
Well, no, it's in fact a violation of provincial policy, certainly.
Yeah.
But it's also a gross violation of the municipal policy, because on December 14th of last year, City Council passed a resolution that in part said that people on social assistance applying for the special diet, staff should be trained in such a way as to ensure that no benefit someone was entitled to was withheld. And what we were having quite clearly here was at the highest level, social services essentially conspiring to try to find ways to deny people benefits in violation of the policy.
Do you think they have a vested interest other than a personal one in eyeballing the budget for the services that people are entitled to?
Well, in part, I mean, the welfare bureaucracy, most bureaucracies get credit for what savings they can make in their budget, and for most bureaucracies they want to save money, but I think that the welfare bureaucracy bureaucracy by virtue of the fact that it is providing the smallest amount possible to people who find themselves not in a position to work, mm-hmm. that they're very conscious of the fact that if the benefit levels start to come up, the mm-hmm. capacity of employers to pay low wages is undermined. So I think there's an overriding interest in this society for welfare rates to be as low as they possibly can be.
We discussed this before in another interview, but there is some kind of a not obvious connection between the corporate mandate to underpay workers and the government mandate.
Yeah, I think that's true. This is not necessarily that the average welfare bureaucrat understands the link between social assistance rates and wage structures, but the whole system is organized in such a way to minimize the deployment of resources to people who need it.
So how did you go about addressing her problem? And I understand it's not over yet.
No, what we were able to win was simply her right to apply. I mean, mm-hmm. At first we thought this was just a nothing little matter that was coming out of a welfare office that could be remedied with a phone call, but we found we were up against the whole bureaucracy. And so we took a delegation, including Zara, to the office of Joe Mahavik, who is the politician on City Council who chairs the Community Services Committee, and his office gave us an undertaking they would deal with the matter. They didn't proceed with the speed and enthusiasm they originally indicated, so we urged supporters to contact Mahavik's office, and that seemed to produce the proper result, and the forms were given out, and what we'll now do, of course, is work alongside Zara to make sure that when the application goes in, all the benefits that the doctor recommends are properly provided.
Yeah, so the application has not yet been submitted.
At least Zara hasn't yet got back to us on that. So if problems arise, we'll be intervening.
And now for a short break from our interview.
Thank you.
You've been listening to John Clark of OCAP explain how he hopes to overcome Toronto's Ontario Works Office refusal to issue forms to a claimant and perhaps question her application unfairly.
How are you going to monitor it when she submits it? I guess this is like a closed-door policy, right?
Yeah, well, but it's really quite straightforward. She'll get a form filled in this case, her family doctor. Mm-hmm. We'll know, because the tables are available publicly, we'll know the amount of money that's supposed to be on her check, and if the proper amount isn't there with the next check, we'll know that the time has come to intervene.
Where are these tables available publicly?
You can find them on our website, on the OCAP website, at OCAP.ca.
All right.
You can also find them, I know, on the City of Toronto's website.
Oh, okay, good. Now, Zara has seven kids. Single women are the most poorly paid of all OW recipients. And people with medical problems have expenses that are not recognized at the OW level. Is she typical? Aside from the seven kids, is this treatment... You said you found it started from the welfare office.
Yeah, it's... I mean, there's nothing that's happened to Zara that hasn't happened to hundreds and hundreds of other people. I mean, sadly, most people don't have an understanding of their rights in the matter and probably never appeal, never challenge the decisions, but it happens all the time. The truth is that if the welfare system actually paid out what it was supposed to pay in the sense of making people aware of entitlements, recognizing entitlements when they were applied for, then even under the present sub-poverty welfare system, the amount of money going to poor people would be much, much greater than it is at the moment.
You've identified now, I guess, a couple of problems. One is this hidden structure which rewards the office for denying people even the right to apply, and the other, I've heard this before too, that they keep secret the entitlements, that people, they don't make people aware, so that they can deny them the application.
That's quite correct. There's no practice of letting people know what they're supposed to get, what they're entitled to, and then when people do apply, the roadblocks start to go up, and people don't get it even when they've got the wherewithal to make the application.
I've gotten feedback from another city that that all applications will be reviewed, promised for perpetuity or not, but that if you are concerned about your benefits, don't rock the boat. If it isn't broke, don't fix it. Wait for the notice to come. And your organization has advised people that they have 90 days when the notice comes to apply to have it reviewed.
That's right. There isn't. I mean, the provincial policy was changed so that indeed everybody is going to be forced to reapply, even if a doctor at an earlier time said that someone was entitled to $250 worth of benefits for the rest of the time they were on ODSP. That isn't being respected. Everybody is going to have to reapply with the new forms, which is pretty outrageous development in terms of implementing any kind of social policy. But when people do get the forms, that's quite true. They have, they shouldn't go out of their way, if they're receiving the supplement, they shouldn't go out of their way to draw attention to it.
Right.
And when they do get the new forms, they need to know that they have indeed 90 days to reapply before their old benefit schedule is cancelled out.
Do you find the same sort of mean spirit in other cities? Because I know you have affiliated organizations in other cities that they're actually denying forms to applicants.
I say this through gritted teeth because we deal with such unspeakable conduct coming out of the Toronto welfare offices. But relative to many other places in the province, the Toronto operation is relatively speaking quite liberal and quite by the book.
Oh.
compared to many places. So if I'm talking about how awful it is in Toronto, people would need to recognize that outside of Toronto, for the most part, you're going to be dealing with regimes that are even more arbitrary and even more abusive.
I see. Are you still finding a lot of division in the medical profession?
Well, yes, certainly. I mean, the truth is that the special diet campaign proceeded without a whole number of medical providers, doctors, midwives, nurse practitioners, dietitians that involved themselves in enthusiastically assisting people in accessing the special diet supplement.
Mm-hmm.
And so we need to recognize the absolutely pivotal role of those medical providers. Wouldn't have happened without them. On the other hand, I can't say that they represent the mainstream of the medical profession.
Right.
I can't say that there's been that you know, family doctors and other providers have generally gone out of their way to help people get the money that they needed to eat properly and be healthy. And there's even a minority of the medical profession that is conservative, riddled with the same prejudices and assumptions with regards to people on social assistance, and who are hostile to assisting people. I mean, we dealt with doctors who dealt with women with families living in conditions of extreme poverty, who, when they asked for the special diet supplement, would poke them in the belly and say, "You don't need a special diet supplement."
Okay. I heard a similar experience in Hamilton about a sleep doctor here who someone went to justify their need for separate space to sleep because they had difficulty sleeping where their daily activities were still before them. The doctor's office, I don't know about the doctor, but the doctor's office trivialized the request and told the family doctor that they didn't want to see this patient anymore.
Yeah.
Are we making any headway with the doctors?
Well, I mean, the organization that came out of the special diet campaign within the medical profession, Health Providers Against Poverty, is continuing to take up this fight. They're continuing to challenge the new policy. They're continuing to go to the Privacy Commission, to the Ombudsman, they're exploring a whole series of things, that fight's continuing. So if I said that only a minority of the medical profession was prepared to organize around this issue, those that have been are still making a major contribution.
All right. How can people get in touch with this organization or contribute to it?
I don't have in front of me contact information for them, but certainly if they'd like to give our office a call at 416-925-6939, we can get that information to them.
925-6939 in Toronto.
Yeah,
okay. To go from there, what's happening with OCAP in this issue? It must be very frustrating to find a government that sees the inadequacy of these incomes and then rewrites the legislation or the policy. Is this a regulation? They can rewrite it outside the house,
yeah, that's
right?
That's essentially what it is, Jeff. But, I mean, for the moment, the government has brought in this new interim special diet form. It's hard to say how it's going to play out, where it's going to go. It's being challenged. We continue, in addition to demanding restoration of the supplement policy, we're of course continuing with our campaign to demand a raising of the rates. The whole campaign led to much more organisation at the local level in terms of poor people's organisations. We're stronger. We're continuing the fight. We're looking at other entitlements that can be accessed. We're looking at other ways of building a stronger alliance to fight for the special diet supplement, to fight for the raising of the rates. The fight carries on, but the truth is that we know that winning social assistance rates at levels people can survive on is going to be a huge battle, and it's not going to be solved overnight.
People receiving benefits are becoming more aware of these issues. What doesn't seem to be happening is that the government is aware that when you take into account husbands, wives, siblings, parents, caregivers, medical professionals, they're short a million votes in 2007. Apparently the belief is that these people, these recipients of fixed incomes, either don't vote or aren't politicized by these issues. I'm not sure that's true. I can't see how else to make them aware of the political impact of what they're doing.
Right. Well, I think people are being politicized, and they're being politicized in a variety of ways. But what's clear is that the special diet was being accessed already before the campaign to an increasing degree. People are looking for ways within the system to survive. There's a word of mouth communications network amongst within poor communities that I think is becoming much more, you know, much more adept at looking for ways to access the means to survive. And I think also that the next step is a more generalized awareness of the need to band together and to actually organize politically to win not just a supplement or a benefit here and there, but to win a substantial improvement in the actual benefit payout that the system provides.
Okay. Anything else you'd like to tell someone listening about this campaign, its future, and your involvement at OCAP?
Well, just that I think, I mean, I'm giving this interview sitting in the office of the OCAP Women of Etobicoke, which is an organization that's affiliated to OCAP, made up almost entirely of women from within the Somali community who got organized on the issues affecting their community precisely out of the special diet campaign. So that, you know, if the people at Queen's Park are patting themselves on the back that they've won this round, I think they're making a very big mistake because what they're preparing through their incredible hard-heartedness is a sense in poor communities that the only solution is to get together and organize and fight back, and that's exactly what people are doing here and what people are going to do throughout the province.
Thank you very much for your time and your comments today, John.
Thank you so much, Jeff.
All right. We'll talk again.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
You've been listening to John Clark of OCAP explain how he hopes to overcome Toronto's Ontario Works Office refusal to issue forms to a claimant and perhaps question her application unfairly. At the middle of the show, you were listening to Pete Johnson and the B&O Blues. And at the end of the show, Mead Lux Lewis and the Yancey Special from a UK album of Boogie Woogie from the 30s and the 40s, Hey Piano Man. You can now listen to the show wherever you're near an internet download. Disrespect is archived at www.radioforall.net. That's the number four, not the word, radioforall.net. You can find the shows under its name, Disrespect. To find out what we plan for the show, go to www.calendric.com/disrespect. That's C-A-L-E-N-D-R-I-C. www.calendric.com/disrespect. Tune in at showtime to see if something more topical hasn't displaced the show that we planned. Disrespect is digitally edited from live telephone and studio interviews.